Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
When Jesus disembarked, that means when he got out of the boat, okay? When he disembarked, he saw the vast crowd, and his heart was moved with pity for them. For they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Like sheep without a shepherd. Like children without a parent. Lost. You know, when I read this passage of sacred scripture, for me, it is a powerful visual image that comes to my mind. I imagine Jesus getting out of that boat, and I can just see him looking out at this big gathering of people. And I can see his shoulders slump and his head go down. He had pity on them. They were just lost. Like sheep without a shepherd. I think I know how he feels. You know, I go to Walmart, and I'm not putting down people that go to Walmart. I go to Walmart. I shop at Walmart. But I go to Walmart, and I look around sometimes, and I think to myself, lost. Go to the Crab Fest. I'm not putting down people that go to the Crab Fest. I go to the Crab Fest. But I look around and I think, what do I think? Like sheep without a shepherd. I was talking to a friend of mine. She's a principal in a high school. Actually a middle school. And she was telling me about an issue that they have at their school. She said children come to be registered and they have no home. No immunizations, no birth certificate. Nobody knows where they're going to be in a month. And she said, it's not one or two kids. It's a bunch of kids. How does that happen? How do we get to that place? And it's been a number of years she's been in this, and she said she just sees it getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And this is the image that comes to me when I think about Jesus looking out at the crowd. I can imagine her looking at her students sometimes and thinking that very thought. Let it sink in. So many children, sheep without a shepherd, adults, they become adults. Jesus is the good shepherd. Now, tonight, I'm not going to talk down to you. Tonight, it's going to be a little bit of a challenging sermon. You're going to have to listen, okay? I can remember when I was out in the congregation and the priest would be talking and I'd start to drift off and I'd count how many light bulbs were burnt out of the church or see what needed to be painted. You're not going to be allowed to do that tonight, okay? You're going to have to stay right here and you have to stay focused. Jesus is the good shepherd. Unfortunately, so much of the world cannot hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. And even worse, so much of the world doesn't listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd if they could hear it. And the Good Shepherd, he's still here. He's still seeking the lost. He's still looking for us. In the image of the 99, remember Jesus leaves the 99 and he goes and he looks for the one lost sheep. That image of the good shepherd, and he puts that sheep up on his shoulders. And I often think of the cross, right? And he takes that sheep and he's carrying that one on his shoulders, seeking the lost. And our good shepherd, who is Jesus, is still seeking the lost. But the sheep have to let themselves be picked up, don't they? They still have to let themselves be found. I want you to think about this question a little bit tonight as I talk. How is it that you hear the voice of the Good Shepherd? What are you listening to that informs you of what the Good Shepherd says and what his plan is and what his ideas are. How is it that you hear the voice of the Good Shepherd? And how do other people hear the voice of the Good Shepherd? Think about that for a minute. Now, going back to my time in the seminary for a minute, my first class in the seminary was a philosophy class, the first class that really made an impression on me. Now, philosophy, comes from two different Greek words, philo, which means love, and sophia, which means wisdom. And so philosophy is love of wisdom, or a seeking of wisdom, or a seeking of truth. And so I was in a philosophy class, and the philosophy class had, it was about what can be known, what is true, how do we know what is true, and can we know what is true? And the answer to that question is, yes, we can know what is true. We can know the truth. In fact, not only can we know the truth, we are responsible to know the truth. A few years ago, John Paul II, when he was Pope, Pope John Paul II wrote a letter that he sent out to all of the bishops and priests of the church throughout the world, and the name of the letter was Faith and Reason, in Latin, Fides et Ratio. And so, faith and reason. And he talked about faith and reason being like two wings. Imagine a bird with two wings. Faith is one wing, reason is the other wing, on which the human spirit rises in contemplation of the truth. We learn the truth through these two gifts, faith and reason. And God has placed in our heart a desire to know the truth, in a word, to know himself. And knowing God, we know ourselves, made in the image of God. So the truth is known through faith and reason. The absence of either one of those two diminishes our ability to know the truth. Now, at this point, I want to remind you of something, that the truth is not simply a concept or an idea, but the truth is a person. Jesus is the truth. You with me? Jesus says, I am the way and the truth. Jesus is the truth. And Jesus is the good shepherd. Remember, I said you had to listen. This is where you really have to listen. You're going to have to put A and B and C together to come to a conclusion now with me, okay? So, Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. When he disembarked, when he got out of the boat, he was moved with pity, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. They were like people without the what? The truth. Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus is the truth. They were like sheep without a shepherd. They were a people without truth. We have a philosophy problem in our world today, a very serious philosophy problem. Critical thinking and logic is out. Emotionalism and emotional manipulation is in. Have you ever heard this expression? The pen is mightier than the sword. Well, it's true. The pen is mightier than the sword. People come up with these ideas, and people are influenced by these ideas. And the idea that is really in style today, that is doing a tremendous amount of damage in the world, is that there is no truth. And if we say there is no truth, we're kind of saying there is no good shepherd. There is no Jesus. And so Jesus got out of the boat and he looked around and he thought to himself, they're like people without a shepherd. And that's where we are. This is the idea. This is the philosophy today, that all truth is relative to the individual. All moral positions, all religious systems, all political ideas are all relative to the individual. And if it's true for you, it's true for you. And if it's true for me, it's true for me. But there is no truth. But that's not true. In fact, that's a lie from the pit of hell. There is truth, and Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and Jesus is the good shepherd. The reality is this. When you say, I have my truth and you have your truth, but there is no truth, and what's true for me is good for me, and what's true for you is good for you, it's intoxicating. Literally, it's intoxicating. It gives you this sense of, hey, I'm my own God. Nobody can tell me right from wrong. Nobody can tell me right from wrong. And that is intoxicating. But that intoxicating, there's a word toxic in intoxicating. That's a poison. And it's leading people away. It's leading people to death. It rejects God. It rejects the truth. It rejects Jesus. It rejects the cross. And so much of society today wants to abandon any idea of right or wrong, particularly in regard to human life, the human body, and human individual actions. Things that were once absolutely considered wrong, understood to be wrong, against the truth, morally unacceptable, like fornication, infidelity, adultery, pornography, homosexual behavior, they're all okay now to so many people. And the really sad thing is, so many of these people claim to be followers of Christ. And Christ says, these are not good. They are not true. But again, how do you hear the voice of the Good Shepherd in the world today? For example, if I were to say to somebody that it is true that your body is sacred, if I were to say to somebody, it is true that the unique and life-giving relationship between a man and a woman is holy and sacred, and to misuse that gift is a serious sin and has tremendous consequences for a society, for a school, they might say, well, that's true for you. Can you imagine somebody saying that? But not true for me. Skepticism about one's ability to know the truth and to know the voice of the Good Shepherd has dire consequences. And then the human person, and I'm talking about myself too here, then the human person is left to his weakness and his passions, and inevitably, within time, the voice of the Good Shepherd will be absent and they will go on the wrong way. That's what's happening in the world today. And I look out at a crowd, whether it's at Walmart or the Crab Fest, and even sometimes at church, and I think like sheep without a shepherd. This is most clearly seen in how we treat human life, how we care for our children, both born and unborn. You know what the greatest problem with all of this is, however? Is that when we are the author of our own truth and when we embrace the philosophy of relativism, there is no sin. See, this is the intoxicating power. I don't sin anymore. Nothing I do is a sin. But if nothing that you do is a sin, there is no redemption. There is no forgiveness. There is no healing. There was no reason for Jesus to be crucified. And the world is lost. But Jesus is still seeking the lost. He's still calling them. He's calling me. He's calling you, just like he did in his lifetime. Jesus is the truth. But sadly, in our world today, the truth is being crucified again and again and again, disfigured, put to death, told he doesn't exist. His mission and his command is to teach the truth and save the human family. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. Now, brothers and sisters, how do you hear the voice of the Good Shepherd in the world today? Now, of course, we have the sacred scriptures, right? We have the Word of God. We have the Holy Bible. But you know, when Jesus was crucified and died and buried in the ground and rose from the dead and went up to heaven, the Bible did not fall out of the sky. No. The Bible came to us through the church, through the gift of the church that Jesus gave when he breathed on the apostles and sent them out and said, as the Father sent me, so I send you. So the church, with the Word of God, with the sacred scripture, teaches us the truth. You say, no, Father Mike, that's your truth. I have my truth. No, there is the truth. And to deny that there is the truth is to deny that there is who? The Good Shepherd, Jesus. And it's no wonder that Jesus looks out at the crowd and says, moved with pity. But those very same people that he was moved with pity for, unfortunately, were some of the very ones that ended up crucifying him. Because we have to let the Good Shepherd pick us up, don't we? And put us on his shoulders and carry us. So the Good Shepherd, the voice of the Good Shepherd, we must believe it. We must strive to hear it. We must learn to listen to it. You know, we have a philosophy problem in the world today. And it's the philosophy of relativism. What's true for you is true for you. What's true for me is true for me. But there is no truth, and that is a lie. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the truth, and the truth is the Good Shepherd. He disembarked from the boat. He was moved with pity, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. But my brothers and sisters, you are not sheep without a shepherd. You have Jesus, who is the Good Shepherd, who is the truth. He is seeking you. Let him find you and lead you back to the Father.